The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Do you know what? I reckon our live streaming colleagues have a distinct advantage over us. They don't have to sing through one of these. Man, that's hard work. Oh, that's the first time. I said it in the first service, I'll say it again. It's the first time I've had to do that. I've had the advantage of standing up there and singing without it, but wow, breath control just goes out the window. Anyway, it's still good to be able to worship our King. Excuse me a second. Over the last few weeks, we've been encouraged to begin this year with a renewed focus on strengthening our relationship with Jesus. From Rod discussing renewing our covenant with Jesus, to Richard talking about how we can strengthen each other in love, to David encouraging us to eat from the tree of life so that we can thrive. We've seen that our goal is to be transformed, to become more and more like Jesus in our everyday lives. Now, of course, this is not a once-off event, but rather a lifelong process of recognizing and understanding the truth of what the Lord has done for us, and then integrating that into how we live day to day. I'd like to call that living from truth. And this is part of the journey of discipleship for each of us as followers of Jesus. And the rate at which this transformation takes place is different for every person, but the goal is the same, to imitate Christ. In 1 Peter, "For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps." And from Ephesians, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Now, we know that in the early years of the life of a child, they learn so much just by observation and example. The old adage, monkey see, monkey do. And I get the amazing privilege of watching this all over again with my grandson. And it's amazing how traits of parents are so quickly picked up by children. So it's good then for us, after we commit ourselves to becoming a brand new disciple of Jesus, the Lord just says, "Thanks for that. Off you go then and be like Jesus. You'll work it out." Right? That's what the Lord does for us, isn't it? Not quite. That's what we do for our children? Also, not quite. We're really invested in being the example that they need. So in the same way that we nurture and teach our children, our Heavenly Father knows that we need instruction and support. So he gives us the Word, the Spirit, and each other. From 2 Timothy, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And from John, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." And from Hebrews, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Now, trying to grow in maturity as a disciple of Jesus and following the Great Commission to disciple others would be a very difficult task indeed if any of these three things were absent. Word, Spirit, or each other. But of course, none of us are ever guilty of trying to do something on our own when we really should be asking for help, are we? It's not like we've ever tried to put something together without reading the instructions, for example. And it's not like we would ever not stop and ask for directions if Google Maps had lost signal. That's not like us at all. And of course, when someone says, "Hey, how are you?" it's not like we would pretend, "Yeah, everything's great," instead of saying, "Actually, life's really, really hard." And this is our constant struggle with pride and self-centeredness. We buck against the Maker who created us to live in faith-filled, dependent relationship. And we choose to think we can do it on our own. Sometimes this can even extend to how we try to live as Christians. And Paul warned the Galatians about this. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Let's face it, life is demanding. We make multiple decisions, often under pressure, almost every day. It can feel relentless. And I think Jesus actually knew how this felt. Here's an example from Luke. Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. So what did Jesus do? Did he throw up his hands and say, "It's all too hard, no more people"? Did he come up with a strategy and a program and a schedule to deal with the crowds in an orderly fashion? Or did he choose to just get on as best he could while draining every last bit of physical and emotional energy that he had? No. The very next verse reveals Jesus' dependency on his Father. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. We need that same dependency. The space to hear what God is saying to us through his Spirit, so that we can follow his leading in his strength. If this is something Jesus himself did on a regular basis, how much more do we need to imitate his example? Also, I think it's fairly obvious to say Jesus knew the scriptures. So just two examples that I'd like to point out today. Firstly, Jesus' use of the scriptures as a defense against Satan's temptation. We see this in Luke 4. And here Jesus stood firm on what he knew to be true, even in the face of Satan trying to twist the truth to deceive him. This is the third temptation. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" So Jesus had the discernment to recognize the deception and the understanding of Scripture and his Father's heart to stand firm against this temptation. And this too is a strategy that we need to imitate, discerning in the Spirit any attempt to distort God's truth and standing firm on his word. The second example is the practical application of truth in Jesus' teaching. Many of us will remember the Sermon on the Mount series that we did here, that was taken from the book of Matthew. And throughout Jesus' message here, there is realistic, accomplishable strategy for living out the ways of God. Jesus makes the truth accessible and understandable. And we would do well to imitate this too, both in our own lives and as we seek to make disciples in other people. Now, you're right. Might remember that at the start I said that the Father knows that we need instruction and support, the same way children need instruction and support as part of our journey of discipleship. So he gives us the Word, the Spirit, and each other. I've spoken a little bit about the first two, but what about the each other? There's both a personal and a corporate aspect to this. Each of us has a responsibility to consider, as we saw before in Hebrews, how we can stir one another up to love and good works. But there's also the call to meet together for encouragement. Now at Rangeville we have some key meet together ministries in place to provide parts of that each other support that we all need as we grow to maturity in Christ. These include ministries like Word Cafe, our men's ministry, youth group, Grace Girls, Space Pilots, children's ministries, and of course our life groups. And let's not forget about meeting here on a Sunday too. These are all tools in the toolbox that the Lord prophesied this complex would be. But in the same way that you can't undo a cuphead screw with a spanner, or remove a nut from a bolt with a screwdriver, some tools are suited to specific tasks. And there's another ministry here at Rangeville that perhaps hasn't always been seen in this same meet-together category. And I think most of you would be able to guess where I'm headed with this. This is Freedom Life's mission statement. Our mission is to provide a prayer ministry led and empowered by the Holy Spirit, healing, restoring, equipping, and releasing the whole person, spirit, soul, and body, and ministering to the body of Christ. As you can see referenced there, Freedom Life was founded on the principles of Isaiah 61, which says this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." And of course, this is the passage that Jesus quoted from in Luke 4. And then he told his listeners that these words had been fulfilled in him. And that's what we rely on at Freedom Life. The fulfillment of that, the authority of Jesus to fulfill those promises, and the assurance that we can appropriate his restoration in our own lives and for his glory. And just as an aside, if we're talking about imitating Jesus, we can find in both Luke 4 and Matthew 5, which is the start of the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus sat down to teach. I could see that catching on. Start a new tradition, maybe? It's not actually new, it's quite old. Anyway, so the Freedom Life mission statement mentions healing, restoring, equipping, and releasing. Apart from equipping, I think we often see these words only as things that relate to past events. Healed from my hurts, restored from my brokenness, released from my bondages. Now, ministries with Freedom Life do tend to heavily favour that aspect, but it's not the whole picture, and it's not all that happens in the ministry setting. We can also look at those words as present and forward-looking. Healed to be whole, as God intended. Restored to my position as a child of God. Released to be the image of my Maker. And fully equipped to reveal his kingdom on the earth. So this means that Freedom Life can be seen as more than just a standalone healing ministry. it can also be an integral part of our discipleship journey. Another tool that God can use to grow our faith and move us toward greater maturity in Christ as we meet with Him and each other in that ministry setting. Now, for those of you who haven't received ministry with Freedom Life and are a little bit unsure how it all works, I thought I'd try and give you an outline of the actual process to help take some of the mystery out of it. I'll preface this by saying that there's no such thing as a typical Freedom Life ministry. There might be some common themes, but every ministry is as unique as the person being ministered to. And I think every team member would actually acknowledge that. And also, I will frequently use the word client. That's not intended to make it sound clinical or detached. It's just an easier way of saying the person being ministered to. So, all Freedom Life ministries are conducted in a team environment with usually two, but sometimes three people. And this is very important for three main reasons. Firstly, to provide a safe environment for the team and the client. And secondly, it allows for different roles and gifts to be exercised by the different team members. And thirdly, it allows for an extra level of discernment and confirmation of what the team feel the Lord is saying. Now, speaking of gifts, the main ones used in the ministry setting are mentioned in 1 Corinthians. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. The gifts most frequently used in the ministry setting are wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, and discernment. But we try not to limit God, so it's not to say that others aren't available. The team is made up of a leader and a seer. We call it a seer or a word, and sometimes there are two seers or words. The leader's job is to lead the ministry, and they carry the spiritual authority. The seer's role is to listen to the Holy Spirit and share what they believe the Lord is saying. Before the client comes into the ministry room, the team will spend some time in prayer, asking the Lord firstly what He wants to reveal for that person, and secondly, what His goal or purpose is for them in the ministry. We call this the revelation and the mandate. And these two things help the team keep the ministry on track with what the Lord desires to do for the client that day. It's important to know that the Lord doesn't usually reveal all the sordid details and hidden sins in someone's life. He honours and respects us as His beloved children. And so He has no desire to shame or embarrass us in front of our brothers and sisters in Christ. He doesn't force us to deal with issues that He knows we're not ready or willing to face yet, though He may give us a gentle nudge from time to time. Now, the revelation and the mandate are unique to each ministry and can take the form of words, pictures, even scriptures that reveal something of what needs to be prayed through in the client's life. They might reveal something from the past that is blocking the client from entering the fullness of their identity in Christ. Or they might reveal an element of where the Lord wants to take the client in the future. Sometimes it's actually both. I can recall multiple instances where the Lord has shown me two different versions of the client. One who is wounded and one who has been restored. At the start of the ministry, the leader usually explains to the client a little bit about the ministry and how it'll all work. And that includes the important assurance of absolute confidentiality That's a value we hold very highly in Freedom Life. It also includes the understanding that the client is part of the team. The Lord can speak to them the same way he can speak to anyone else in the room. After this, the leader will usually share the revelation and the mandate with the client. And it's a pretty rare occurrence that the client doesn't relate strongly to what is shared. Even if sometimes perhaps a little further clarity is needed through discussion or prayer. And this is further evidence to the client and to the team that the Father knows us so intimately. Often he will share things that no one else could possibly know, but the client recognises immediately the Father has spoken. And we often see people dissolve in tears or laugh like, wow, how could you possibly know that? And it's just a great confirmation that the Father is speaking into that person's life. From there, the leader will simply begin in prayer by asking the Lord where he wants to start ministering to the client. And that just begins a process of listen and do what the Lord says, as the leader, seer, and the client wait on the Father to direct each step. Now, the possibilities of how that might proceed are almost endless, but as I said earlier, there are some common themes. Generational sin, the power of truth to overcome lies that are believed, repentance, moving from unforgiveness to forgiving, identity issues, revealing the Father's heart of love for the client, a revelation of fresh hope or purpose, removing blockages to blessings being released, spiritual, emotional, and physical healing. These are some of the things that are prayed through in many ministries. It's gentle, it's respectful, and it's such a blessing to experience for both the client and the team. The Lord will lead the ministry to a point where the mandate has been fulfilled. And sometimes further ministry might be required, but the Lord always gives us a time frame for that next ministry if that is the case. The aim of every ministry is simply to hear God's heart for that person and then to release them into greater intimacy in their relationship with Jesus so that they can be more effective for his kingdom and as a disciple of Jesus. In preparing this message, I have to admit I'm uncomfortable with self-promotion because it can come across as a sales pitch or grandstanding. And I know it's not the first time I've stood up here and talked about Freedom Life, but I think it would be easy for us as part of Rangeville to take for granted the quality of the ministries that we have here at Rangeville. And I'm not just talking about Freedom Life. The many ministries that we offer as a church are here to serve the needs of the body of Christ, which includes our growth both as individuals and as a church. Many of us are regulars on a Sunday or at life groups or Word Cafe or any of the other meet together ministries I mentioned earlier. And these are a vital part of our journey with each other. But I'd encourage you to consider Freedom Life in a similar light, something that you can participate in regularly to grow in your discipleship journey towards imitating Christ. Now, regular might look different for every person. We encourage the team members at Freedom Life to have their own personal ministry once every 12 months. But it is something that we do encourage them to participate in regularly, and I would encourage you to consider that in the same way. And I'd further encourage anyone who's interested and feels that the Lord is prompting them to be a part of the Freedom Life team to come and have a chat with me or Gail. The spiritual gifts I mentioned earlier are the ones most used in the ministry setting, and even if you feel like you have one or more of those only in seed form, there's an opportunity as when you're part of being in the ministry room to grow those gifts. And we could certainly use some more team members at this present time. So as always, when we conclude our service, we take a moment to focus on what the Lord has been saying to us throughout the service. Could be at any point, through the worship, through the prayer, or through the message. I just encourage you to spend a minute reflecting on that, what the Lord has been saying to you today. And then also take a moment to ask, Lord, how do you want me to respond to that? Let's do that. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus as the perfect example of how to live our lives in your truth. Lord, we thank you that you call us as your dearly loved children to live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Father, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to you. Lord, we thank you that your heart is for us to mature, to grow, to be the men and women, the sons and daughters that you have called us to be. And so, Lord, we ask that where necessary, you would prompt us to take advantage of the ministries that are offered here at Rangeville, to assist us, to encourage us, to grow us, and to help us to do the same for others. Father, we thank you that we do that in and through the power of your indwelling Spirit. And Lord, we thank you that as we go this week, your Spirit is in us, empowering us, speaking, encouraging us, enabling us, equipping us. Father, help us to listen and do what you say. In Jesus' name, amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07 46 36 11 44, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.